Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is June 10th, 2014, and this is episode 55, E3 2014 Day 2. Welcome again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Today, we are wrapping up our three-day marathon of content with a look at the E3 conferences that took place today.
I had a very long day today. I suspect those of you out there who are following the constant flow of information throughout the day today, you're all probably pretty exhausted too.
So, in the interest of my time and comfort, and your own, let's get this party started. We have a couple of pieces of news that we want to talk about real quick. Mr. Slaggy McWaggy, if you'd like to get us started.
Yeah, over on the PlayStation bomb. Over on the PlayStation blog.
They dropped a bomb
that Final Fantasy Type-0 is coming to the Xbox One and the PS4 as an HD remaster. Now, this was initially...
And none for Gretchen Wieners.
Well, this was initially reported as coming to Vita, but that was later corrected. So, unfortunately...
No Vita.
Unfortunately, there will not be a Vita release of Type-0. Also, in related news...
No
Final Fantasy,
Vita, no cry.
Final Fantasy Agito will be coming to the West.
And that is the mobile social spin-off of Final Fantasy Type-0. Same setting, but it sort of explores sort of the themes of that world in a different way.
And just so happens to share the original name of Type-0, you know, Agito 13.
It absolutely does. Let's see, we also here have confirmation and announcement, because, I mean, I guess this wasn't even really rumored, that the Ultimate Evil Edition of Diablo 3 for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 will have exclusive in-game content in the form of Shadow of the Colossus transmog gear.
Looks super hot.
It actually, I think, looks really cool. You know, I was already sold on Ultimate Evil Edition of Diablo 3, but stuff like this and the announcement of the exclusive Last of Us dungeon yesterday, I'm definitely on board for this. We also have one more piece of news, something that I would have expected to have heard yesterday. It turns out that Little Big Planet 3 is a cross-gen game.
Yes. Steven Isbell from Media Molecule over on Twitter said that more news will be available later. He was kind of responding to some people over on the Twatiers who were like, oh, well, I heard it was going to be PS3, but IDK. So it is confirmed from Media Molecule.
Anyway, let's talk about the first E3 event today and talk about Konami.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our predictions and hopes, then we'll talk about the actual show, and then we'll talk about sort of overall our thoughts about it. Same structure that we used yesterday. My hopes and predictions were for a 3DS 2D Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of in the vein of the Igavanias. Sort of, I really wanted to see Konami asserting themselves and being like, we don't need Igarashi in order to make these good games.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for a new Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I was hoping for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance 2.
Oh.
I went into this admittedly with pretty high hopes, but I feel like Konami has been really like a non-factor in gaming for the last like year or so. You know, they've got to have some stuff cooking. Slaggy McWaggy, what about you? What were you hoping?
Well, I was kind of in the same boat as you, Castlevania-wise. I didn't really care what release it had, whether it would be 3DS or something like a PlayStation Network, Xbox Live Arcade, like that one that was a couple years back. That was good times. I just wanted to see some sort of Castlevania that wasn't Bro-Sylvania, but I know that it's kind of a snowball's chance in hell at this point. That they will release anything vaguely similar to Symphony of the Night. I kind of predicted that there'd be no Bimani announcements because Bimani, like we said in our rhythm gaming episode, is pretty much dead in the United States, more or less. So I was expecting, you know, aside from the obvious Metal Gear stuff, that I was hoping that we'd hear something Castlevania.
Yeah, all right. So, you know how this typically goes for Konami? They have a E3 countdown on their website. And when the countdown goes up, they have a pre-recorded video that goes up for their, like, press event.
Right, I remember it actually leaked early last year.
Exactly. So, this year, the timer went up.
And I was up editing GameBuoy, so I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, and I think the answer is it's fucking nothing.gif.
Wah, 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 wah.
Wow. When the E3 countdown on Konami's website ticked up, we got new trailers for a soccer game. Was that PES?
PES 2015, Pro Evolution Soccer, I believe.
Excellent. And Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess, Slag, what do you think?
There wasn't enough content for me to have any opinion on this. Score out of 10, not applicable.
I think that is probably the best way this could be summed up.
I mean, I was a little surprised that Konami was on, like, the official E3 report card that we saw floating around. Because, like we said, they typically just do their own little Nintendo Direct style sort of thing. And, you know, other developers like Capcom weren't doing anything like this. So I was a little surprised, but I was not expecting something this lackluster.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's just embarrassing.
I had had the same concerns as you until I saw that their website did have their sort of now typical countdown running. And I was like, oh, okay, they must be doing it like that. So that's cool. And I was really shocked. You know, the first thing I did when I woke up this morning, before I even put pants on, was loaded up.
Too much information.
I loaded up Konami's website. And, like, it's fucking nothing.
Yeah, that's just humiliating. Like, what's happening to Konami?
Yeah, I don't, you know, we've talked about this here on the show, but they're really falling apart from the inside.
They really are, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to a company that is doing the exact opposite of that. Let's talk about Nintendo, whom I think it's fair to say has basically dominated the entire sort of social media sphere.
And the games journalism sphere.
Well, exactly sort of the direction I was going in. Like, I feel like if you're in gaming, if you're involved in gaming, probably Nintendo was on your lips like 9 times out of 10 today.
Yeah.
Really just, I don't think I can ever think of any time where I've seen one company dominate the conversation for an entire day.
I mean, I saw people
like
on my Facebook feed who typically don't post about games, maybe don't consider themselves gamers, but posting about the new Zelda teaser, etc. Spoiler alert, but if you're listening to this, we assume you already know about what happened at E3.
Yeah, well, you know, presumably, because some people might be listening to this because, you know, they don't give a fuck about, ooh, spoilers for a press conference. And they just want to hear the data, and they want to hear what we have to
right,
say.
Right, right.
So I don't want to assume that the people who are listening to this know us up. But I admit, statistically speaking, it's very likely the people listening to this know us up.
Yeah, I'm just sorry if I spoiled it for you.
Bum, 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 bum.
Mm.
Anyway, Slaggy, why don't you give me your hopes and expectations going into this event?
I was hoping we'd see some sort of GameCube remaster, hopefully Sunshine, after the success of Wind Waker HD. I was hoping.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
I was hoping for.
I went for it.
I was hoping for some Mario Kart DLC track information. Even just like, oh yeah, it's coming. I was hoping that we'd see some Zelda U information that shows a refreshing new direction for the franchise. I was hoping for some Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Some release windows or footage from Bayo 2 and X. And then my prediction was that we'd see some sort of Mii-related thing, because they always have to have some sort of Mii-related crap in their announcement.
So I have to say, you actually were mostly pretty spot on.
And, like, yours kind of didn't feature.
Yeah, mine was complete, like, non-present. My hopes were that, you know, we'd hear some news about the upcoming slate of Virtual Console titles. I was hoping for an expansion of the Virtual Console service. I was hoping we would get a new F-Zero game, even if just on the 3DS. And I was hoping that we would finally get more information about Fire Emblem Cross Megaten. Or, I'm sorry, Shin Megami Tensei. We got none of these things.
But let's not get it twisted. What we did get was pretty great.
So, I just want to start out by saying, you know, I know a lot of people were very, very, very critical of Nintendo's decision not to do a traditional press conference, and instead do the pre-recorded thing and have it uploaded to, you know, YouTube.
Yeah, welcome to last year, though.
No, oh, absolutely. I have to tell you, As soon as the Nintendo event started with a, like, sketch by the Robot Chicken guys, I was laughing, I was dying, right? I was getting life all at the same time.
I mean, because when you think about it, what Microsoft did, what Sony did, what EA and Ubisoft did, is really the same thing, except they're standing on stage and, oh, let's bring out someone to talk about this. Now we're going to show clips. I mean, really, yeah.
I personally fundamentally feel like that method is flawed. You end up with bits like Brian Bendis at the Sony event.
Giant enemy crab.
Giant enemy crab, yeah. Or there was the one gentleman who was vaguely connected to the Vib Ribbon series who at Sony's event who kept making jokes that didn't land like a single time.
Yeah, or PlayStation Nation.
PlayStation Nation.
Enough about the PlayStation Nation. Let's talk about the Nintendo Nation.
Well, hold on, though. Let's talk about the Nintendo Domination. Because Girl, not that kind of domination. Probably. What we really saw was Nintendo used the strengths of this format to make a show that was hilarious.
Well, I mean, they've really been heading this direction with their directs. They had that one where Bill Trennan was stuck in an elevator or something. They had the Phil Zemeck from the last one that announced the E3 Direct. I'm sorry, this was called the Play Nintendo event.
Yeah, so we really, I feel, saw come to fruition sort of the direction Nintendo has been going with these press events, where instead of just being an info dump and look at this cool trailer, I felt like I was watching like a variety comedy show that also featured all of these cool upcoming games, talked about game design, had a lot of in-jokes for like the hardcore gamers that also in a lot of ways showed us they do know what we want and what we're talking about. They understand the viral appeal of having Reggie shooting lasers out of his eyes at some kid asking about Mother 3.
Right.
Like, you know, Nintendo to me was really demonstrating they get it, like they're on board. Maybe they don't play this game the same way that the other two, play this game. But they are playing the game, they are listening to fans, and they are working to give us what we want.
And I'd rather see Robot Chicken sketches of Bowser being like, oh, hey, Peach, sorry for kidnapping you like 90 times. Can I have that donut? She's like, no.
I cackled. It was amazing.
Instead of people being like, oh, PlayStation Nation, what's up?
Hey, PlayStation Nation.
Hey, Xbox Nation.
Let's make some dad jokes.
Let's get sickening.
Anyway, let's talk now about the content. Let's talk about the games. The first focus we got was Smash Brothers right out of the gate. Confirmation of Mii's as a playable, selectable fighter.
And when I was watching this, I was like, oh shit, this is a bad sign of what's going to come. I'm in a bad mood now because you know how I feel about Mii's. They kind of freak me out.
Ah, yeah, I do know that about you, but...
And what did I say? My prediction was, oh, they're going to put some sort of Mii crap, and I was like, great.
So, bad news first is that the Nintendo 3DS version of Smash Brothers is now scheduled for October 3rd, which is obviously missing that previously mentioned summer date, but Nintendo still claims that we are going to see this game released on the Wii U this holiday season, this year.
Yes, so it'll be about a 2-month window. Instead of, like, a 4-month window.
Which I think is cool. For these Miis, when you select a Mii, you're going to be able to select, like, one of three different play styles for the Mii.
Yeah, there's, like, a fighter with a sword, a brawler, and then there was one other one.
Yeah, and, you know, something else I really liked was that in their presentation, Nintendo again went the internet meme route. And we saw them showing Miis of celebrities. We saw an Ice-T intro, Ice-T pours it on.
Right.
I really felt like Nintendo went above and beyond to be funny, but also make the Mii inclusion go from being like, oh god, fucking Miis again, to like, no, this is cool. Like, I want to play as a Mii. Like, I want to make Miis for all of the RuPaul's Drag Race cast and have, like, LaGanja Estranja versus Sharon Noodles.
Let's get sickening, Smash Girls.
Right? You know, another thing we got news about was the upcoming line of Nintendo's Amiibo NFC figures. These are, of course, going, at least the first line of these is going to be made for the Smash Brothers games. They are going to be modeled on the trophies of the Smash Brothers characters in-game. And they have, you know, Skylanders-style NFC chips in the base of them that you'll be able to save your stats to, fight, like, a computer data AI of, like, your play style encoded on the chip.
Yeah, almost like a Pokeball summon, in a way.
Yeah, so I think this is cool. You know, we've talked previously here on the show about how, because we've known that these figures were coming, and we had even kind of suspected that they'd be used in Smash.
Yeah, and you know, at the roundtable tonight, they were talking about how your Amiibo figure, as you play Smash, it will learn your playing style, it'll learn your friend's playing style, so it can be better at defending. Basically, you can just have your character that you've been leveling show up in the game and be stronger than and smarter than a computer AI because it's learning and growing.
I think that's awesome. That sounds great to me. I am absolutely on board with this. And I have to say, you know, looking at pictures of the Amiibo figures, and the plural of Amiibo is still Amiibo, I think that these are really cool looking figures. Like, I actually kind of plan on buying all of them, not just the ones I plan on playing
right.
as. We also got confirmation at the same moment that Mario Kart 8 is going to have support for Amiibos patched in.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we also later learned that some of the other games announced today also will have Amiibo support.
But I hope that means, oh, I can be Captain Falcon in Mario Kart. I can be Kirby in Mario Kart.
Right, man? If that unlocked these characters in Kart 8, that would be, for me, I mean, I'm already planning on buying all of them, but that would make me prioritize it. Like, that would be me going on eBay and literally buying one of each of them as soon as they came out.
Right.
And, you know, for me, that to me is the biggest reason why we're still going to see Smash Brothers launch a holiday of this season. You know, I've seen a lot of people talk about how they think it's going to get pushed back to January or March like Brawl did.
Nope.
But I think Nintendo is going to make a killing on these damn toys. And
yeah.
You know when toys sell the best in the calendar year?
Holidays.
So I definitely think that's going to keep them on track. And also, as a brief aside, although it wasn't discussed at that point in the conference, we did later find out that they are releasing a separate, almost like puck device for the 3DS that will allow it to read the NFC
figures. That's great, yeah. Did you like that video with Bill Trinan being like, playing with them?
Oh my gosh, I didn't see it. I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah, it was really adorkable.
Is that the separate video they had talked about?
It's a separate video that's up on their, you can go on their YouTube feed and watch it like right now.
Yeah, during the direct event, they had mentioned that there would be a Bill Trinan video explaining the Amiibo. I just didn't have time.
There was one. It was dorky and adorable. And he's like, when I was a kid, I used to pretend that my toys would fight, and I tried to strategize which one would win. He's like, and sometimes I still do that.
Oh, that makes me like him even more.
I want to move to the Nintendo Treehouse.
Girl, you want to climbing on that wood. Climbing on that wood.
Treehoused.
All right, let's talk about the game previously known as Yarn Yoshi.
Now called Yoshi's Woolly World.
Holy shit, so gorgeous.
So pretty. I mean, we already, I think, all universally agreed that Kirby's Epic Yarn was a pretty game. But, of course, this
takes that, like, one step further.
Yeah, it really does. Yoshi is, like, a full knitted, stuffed little character. I hope that they make little Yoshi Woolly World Yarn Yoshi toys.
Amiibo?
Or Amiibo, but, like, even just like a little toy. Or
like, dude, these Amiibo haven't even come out. I'm already, like, I want that game to have Amiibo!
Otherwise, I'm going to try and get one of my friends who is crafty to be like, hey, can you make me a Yarn Yoshi?
All right. So, you know, they spent a lot of time discussing Yoshi's Woolly World, And they really talked a lot about game design and their
really
focus
did.
On designing the game and what their design goals were.
And the exploration aspects of the world.
Yeah, well, their theme is to sort of freely explore the vast game world.
And that's really exciting.
I think that's very exciting. The way you interact with the environment is really exciting. The fact that it's going to have two-player co-op is very exciting. Mm-hmm. A little less exciting is that it was confirmed to be a 2015 release.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nintendo has always been all about delaying a game if the product is ultimately going to benefit from it. And so I never, especially where Nintendo is involved, I never let myself get too upset about release dates being kind of far out, because I know ultimately the product we're going to get for it is going to be worth that wait.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. It looks adorable. I can't wait to see more of it in the coming months.
Do you know what else looks adorable?
Captain Toad's Treasure Trackers.
Treasure Trackers. You know, someone was making a joke on Twitter about, like, do you think this game was originally called Captain Toad's Treasure Trail?
Hey.
Right.
Except Toad's a little toad. I don't want to think about him in that way.
Either way, man, this is a whole game based on, and a whole retail game. Like, this is a full real-size game.
It's not worth $60.
Based on the Cat and Toad segments of Super Mario 3D World. And I have to say, man, the way that they have taken those stages and sort of embellished and expanded those concepts and gameplay ideas, it looks so good.
It looks really cute. And, you know, I've had some beef with Toad getting the shaft in favor of generic Toads in, like, the new Super Mario game. So I'm glad that OG Toad is getting his moment in the spotlight again. And this is really his first real moment in the spotlight.
I think so. I really think you're quite right.
So, thank goodness.
I know you want to talk about this next one, so why don't you take that?
Well, we got Aonuma-san talking about the new Legend of Zelda Wii U game and showing some in-game footage, a very vast world. We didn't actually see a lot, but, you know, a lot of people on the internet have been speculating, talking, looking at what we did see and trying to kind of piece things together. One thing that Aonuma was very adamant about is that it's going to be very exploration-based, going to break from a lot of conventions, but still,
the term open world was used.
A lot of people were like, oh, that means it's going to be like the Zelda Scrolls Hyrim. But anyway, we actually didn't see a lot. They showed a little bit of the game world, which looks beautiful. And Aonuma was talking about revisiting the original Zelda and how he wanted to recapture that sense of being able to explore and look at, like, the vast mountains in the background and just be able to quest your way there. And then we saw a little bit of footage, because he said even though, you know, in this peaceful world there's still monsters, we got a little bit of footage of Link fighting this monster. And one thing that was really interesting is that it looks very kind of like archaeological. There were like lots of patterns and kind of monolithic looking things. So that was very interesting. It almost seemed like there was a little bit of a technological futuristic thing. So it's almost, I wonder if,
well,
it's
we
like
saw
a
Link, and we'll get to that in a minute, but we saw Link jumping at this giant archaeological crazy robot thing that was shooting fire. Looked like almost like a mechanical beast of some
kind. Yeah, it really did.
And Link's arrows that he was about to shoot at this thing, like, it popped out like spikes on it and like a glowing blue like light, and it looked clearly technological, but like strapped to just a plain jank wooden bow and arrow.
I can't help but wonder if this Zelda takes place in a far future post-apocalyptic society of Hyrule that, you know, is reverting to, you know, the prehistoric times, I guess, if you want to say so.
Yeah, well, you know, the last game,
and, you know, and I was kind of hoping for some sort of futuristic bent in the next Zelda, because it's always been blah 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 fantasy tropes.
Well, the reason why for me this is really interesting, and I agree with you, I think this is going to be some kind of future game,
sci-fi.
They have
Zelda
tech. I don't know if I would go straight up sci-fi, although
sci-fi fantasy hybrid.
Although that would be a great way, if Aonuma-san is serious about really freshening up the Zelda game world and gameplay, that would be a great first step, is to step that fully away from the typical Zelda tropes. But I just think it's interesting that the last mainline Zelda game was an origin story for Hyrule and sort of the Triforces and, you know, because Skyward Sword is literally like, you know, the first, the Skyward Sword.
Yep.
So I think it, the idea of now the next one being like super future, like so far in the future that it resembles the past. But again, you know, clearly there were these indications of tech of some kind. I find that fascinating. I think that would be a great world to explore.
Zelda mechas.
Now the next
Mecha Goron.
The next talking point here, though, is that the entire social media sphere was all a Twitter, literally and figuratively, with, you know, sort of, what is the word I'm looking for? Speculation on the gender of Link.
What?
Sounds like a sequel to Adventure of Link. The Agender of Link.
Ah!
But basically, Link's proportions, shoulders and arm shape, and even body language suggest not just a feminine stance or pose, but specifically, like, this Link appears to be a woman.
Yeah, and then Aonuma-san teased, how do you know that that's Link in the trailer?
Yes.
Because a lot of people were saying, oh, Link looks very different. And he said, we never said that was Link.
Yeah, he very specifically was like, we have not called that character Link.
So some people think it might be, like, a son of Link, still thinking that it's male.
Or a daughter of Link. Or, and this to me is even more titillating,
Zelda!
Yeah,
I've been wanting to playable Zelda forever, you know, not counting the CDI things.
The CDI things don't count on any level.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we will have our moment when we do the inevitable Zelda episode.
We are never, ever, ever...
There's a reason...
Getting back together! Doing a Zelda episode.
There's a reason that I use the title, The Inevitable Zelda Episode. It's inevitable.
Or so you think.
And, you know, one last thing, kind of in a Zelda nerd way, and you were nerding out about this, which goes to show that you actually put way more thought into Zelda than you claim to. The patterns you pointed out to me look very much like Gerudo patterns.
So what Slackick is saying is that Link, or the character we currently believe to be Link...
Or Linka.
Linka. ...is wearing bracers that have symbols and, like, a tribal design on them matching that of the Gerudo culture.
And I was like, ooh, what if this Linka was adopted by the Gerudo ladies, and they're like, you're going to be the one to help restore our valley to greatness because the evil Ganondorf was the only male in our society and he blah blah blah. Can you imagine if that was the plot and then there was a female Link or it was Zelda? What a fucking...
About specifically like bringing down the patriarchy of Ganon.
How amazing would that be? Like, I smell a fan game brewing, basically.
I hate the fact that thinking about that makes me excited for a Zelda game because
I don't
like Zelda, but
it would also explain the archaeological piece because they could be like, oh, we're not just like thieves, we're like archaeologists.
Yeah, well, especially if it's a far
Zelda Croft
future.
Zelda Croft.
Dude, don't play games with my heart. Like, this is like, I want that more than I really realize.
The thing is that when we were watching this Nintendo Direct event, I was like, oh, they really didn't show a lot. But
I think there are reasons for that, and we'll discuss that probably in about
10 minutes. I agree, but now that we're talking about it, I'm like, wow, just a little tease already has me so excited, more than I thought I would be, and it took kind of the processing it and looking at these things that were not typical to
okay.
really kind of start piecing things together.
Look,
of course, this is all speculation, but...
I'm going to spill some tea, draw some shade. I don't know. I'm going to say something kind of bitchy. That's really what I'm saying here. My thing about Zelda is, for the last, like, 6 Zelda games that came out, basically every Zelda since Ocarina of Time, there's, like, this, except for Majora's Mask, I can see you practically eye-rolling me over there already. Basically, every Zelda game has had the exact same formula. It's like, oh, you're a kid, oh, you get a sword, oh, now you have to collect 3 medallions, there's a very vague hint of pretend non-linearity, but ultimately, like, no, you're just doing this one small, like, hour-long fetch quest. And then the game opens up a little more, and it's like, oh, now you have to get these 7 medallions.
No, I know. It's exactly is what it is.
And so it's like it fools you into thinking that there's some level of non-linearity, but these Zelda games for the last, like, decade have been some of the most linear games I've ever played that are made by Nintendo.
Yeah, no, I do not debate that at all.
So, to me, the thing here is what was talked about today for Zelda, the way these hints really do show that, like, things could be very different. They showed us the open world, talked about how their goal is, you know, if you can see those mountains off in the distance, you can go there, you can climb those mountains. Like, if they're serious and this is going to be, like, a whole game world, it's going to have all of this cool stuff to do, if there's really not going to be, like, a preset, like, oh, collect these 3 items, oh, now do these 7 items in this order, like, I feel for the first time like Zelda could be interesting and exciting again.
Indeed.
That's what this tease gave me.
Like, oh, you discovered a map. Now trying to find out where this dungeon is that you discovered the map for.
Oh, girl, that would be so exciting.
And then you have to go to the village, and it's like, oh, well, maybe you need to move this rock. Really, I would love to see some elements from Zelda 2 come into play, because I feel like they tried to be like, hey, Skyward Sword has RPG elements, but it didn't really have it in the sense that they did in Zelda 2.
You know, 1 or 2 or 3 people to interact with in a little tribe of huts, I'd be down. I don't want to spend an hour and a half in a city talking to every NPC, though.
Like, no, I don't want that either. There. But, I mean, think about Zelda 2, where you would go in and be like, oh, I am Error.
Yeah, right? Like, give my note to the river man.
Yep.
So, all right, well, let's move on, because we've literally been talking for, like, 15 minutes about, like, a minute and a half of footage. Why don't we talk about the next thing they showed? I want you to take this one, because I'm going to take the next one after that.
Okay, they showed some footage of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. They showed Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre, which I later read are not Mega Evolutions, but they're, like, Primal Ancient Devolutions that, like, put them in their primal state. But I guess the concept's really the same. I think it's probably just for these two games.
Storyline purposes?
For storyline purposes, because, you know, they were, like, resurrected or whatever. But you never know. I think, you know, they're going to be probably just kind of, like, Mega Evolutions under a different name. You know, not much more than that. They showed some in-game footage. It looks like X and Y. So, I mean, not really a lot to talk about, but, you know, it's going to be coming in November.
Yeah, it looks really good. You know, and now I want to talk about, of course, for me, the most exciting part of today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read my show notes here real quick. Bayo2, !!!!! Caps lock, bad bitch slay, oh god, period. Nintendo costumes, period. Oh my god, Bayo1 remake on disc with Bayo2, October 2014.
Right? you didn't even talk about the part where she's like, welcome to hell, love.
Yeah, no, it was so amazing. So
Bayo2 is basically going to take place in hell.
Which we did kind of know. But again, it's cool to see confirmation. It was cool to finally see some real story elements. And, you know, something interesting is that the website for Bayo2 went up around the same time as this event happened in the direct event. And we got confirmation that the port of Bayo1 that's going to be on this disc, and it is on the disc only. It is not included in the Bayo2 download version. But it's going to run locked at 60 frames a second, which means, and have enhanced, you know, there's going to be new, like, Nintendo-themed costumes. It's going to have, like, enhanced art assets at higher resolution textures and stuff. Like, this is going to be the definitive way to play the first Bayonetta.
I mean, even if my 360 game disc didn't have issues, I would still be picking this up retail.
Yeah.
But because my 360 disc did have, like, scratches and issues, I mean, all the more reason to get it.
Well, that's like, you know, I have this game on 360, I have this game on PS3, I'm going to day 1 purchase it on Wii U, and I'm going to make sure to get the disc version because I want to play the first Bayonetta again now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Like, I'm so excited. I was literally shouting and shaking practically. The footage they showed of Bayo2 looks incredible. You know, we got confirmation that the two-player mode, the two-player tag climax battle or whatever, which is like a two-player co-op Bayonetta game, it is playable online.
That's great.
One player playing as Bayonetta and the other playing as Jean.
Yes.
Right? Fucking slay, mama.
Slay, mama.
I can't possibly overstate how excited I am for Bayonetta 2 and Bayonetta coming this October. Well, why don't you take this next one?
Yeah, we saw some more from Hyrule Warriors, that there's going to be, like, Zelda-style bosses. One thing that was really cool is that they announced the two-player mode, which will not be split-screen. There'll be one person on the TV and one person on the gamepad. Very interesting tidbit was that Zelda will be playable. Now, I thought the story details that had leaked, not leaked, but the story details that had been announced said, oh, Zelda's captured by so-and-so and so. So maybe Zelda's not playable all the way through. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's pretty typical in Musou games to have, like, second players be not necessarily always with you, or...
Well, you know, something else is that a lot of times in Musou games, if you play as a character, you'll have a story for that character. So the Zelda scenario, it might be like a story of its own. And then the Link story might be a story of its own, and the Midna, who is also a playable character, might be a story of her own,
and Impa
would have a story of her own, and then at the end, you know, these stories would come together.
Well, we don't even know that those are the only four.
No, in fact, you know, they said today that this game has many playable characters, and that these were the ones they were talking about today.
And that's really exciting.
So yeah, who knows who
Princess
else?
Princess Ruto.
Ain't nobody know who that is, girl.
It's the Princess of the Zora from Ocarina of Time.
Oh, God.
Maybe Saria?
Can we not? Sheik, okay? That's a Zelda character people know. Skull Kid.
People know these characters.
You know, they showed some really cool, like, super attacks. There was one where one of the goddesses, Din Feore or...
Nairu,
I guess. Like, one of them came out of the ground and, like, threw harpoons at an enemy, and the enemy kept dodging, and it was like, ha-ha! And so, bitch just threw one up at the moon, and then, like, tugged it super hard, and down came the Majora's Mask crazy creepy moon.
Yes.
Just to, like, slam on homeboy. So cool. Like, it was really super fan servicey, really, really great to watch. It made me really excited to play this game.
Yeah, I've been a little lukewarm about this, but, you know, I'm really glad that they did decide to cap the on-screen enemies at 50. Because I was worried that, you know, we'd have a typical Musou experience of, oh, hundreds of characters, and now it's, like, running at 20 frames per second.
You are such a performance, like, slut. Like, I can't even.
Okay, go have fun playing a game at 5 FPS or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'm gonna play One Piece Musou. There's gonna be 200 pirates on screen. It's gonna be 5 frames a second, but they're all gonna be frames of awesome.
Alright.
We also got confirmation in Zelda Musou that there are going to be, like, environmental interactions with objects. So, like, oh, you have to get the hookshot, and then you'll be able to hookshot onto things or hookshot enemies. We also got confirmation that there are going to be full-on boss encounters.
Yeah.
And we don't see a lot of that in Musou games. Like, typically a boss encounter is like, oh, I'm a stronger enemy general. Like, I'll take more hits than these other homeboys. But, like, in Zelda Musou, or I'm sorry, Hyrule Warriors, it's, like, straight up, like, oh, this is, like, a boss. Like, you're going to have to hookshot this guy's tail to get him out of the sky. While he's dizzy, start hitting him in the head. Like, it's going to be, like, a straight-up Zelda experience. Like, a real marriage of Zelda design and Musou design.
Yeah, I can tell that Nintendo's definitely not just putting this off in the Dynasty Warrior crew's hands, that they're very involved with it. And I think that alleviates a lot of my concerns that I had about the title initially.
And this one is due September 26, 2014.
Super exciting.
We also got the sequel to the old... I keep trying to say 3DS. The old DS game, Kirby's Canvas Curse. This is Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Looks really cute. You draw little rainbow patterns, like little paths.
Yeah, it looks very similar to Canvas Curse. I'm really excited to play it. This is going to be a 2015 Wii U game. And, I mean, that's unfortunately all we really know about that.
Yeah, but it's good to see that the Kirby hype's train still going woo-woo.
So we also finally got the full name of X. It is now called
Xenoblade Cross
in Japan. And in the U.S., it is Xenoblade Chronicles Cross.
Or X, as everyone was saying.
Bitch, but it's not X.
But the Nintendo Treehouse Boys said it was X.
You and your damn crush on the Nintendo Treehouse Boys. So we got a really cool and fairly long story trailer.
Yeah.
Definitely painted Xenoblade Chronicles Cross as, again, like in the same light as, like, Xenosaga. And, you know, you may recall that all of these Xeno games, despite being done through different publishers and having, you know, decades between them in terms of when they were released, these games do share a fiction, despite the fact that you know, they're not directly referenced in one another.
Right.
But this game, it definitely looks very Xenosaga. And some of my friends who are huge Xeno fans were talking about how this game has sort of like a focus on like the like first people leaving Earth or something.
Yeah.
Apparently that's an event in the Xeno chronology. So Xeno nerds are very excited, like thinking that this is like a vital part of this canon that has been being explored through different game series over the last 20 years. So, you know, obviously it's speculation to some degree, but at the same time, I mean, we are talking about a game world where characters are name-dropped from a game that was made 20 years ago and published at the time by Square Enix.
Yep.
So, you know, we later on got like an hour of game footage through the E3 Treehouse streaming stuff they were doing.
Yep, the Treehouse Boys played it.
Yeah, and how amazing is that, man? In 2014... one of the big three did an all-day streaming event and dedicated, like, an hour to a JRPG.
Right?
The game looks great, though. It looks like they took the Xenoblade Chronicles fighting combat system and really expanded on it, made it more action-packed. But still, it looked very strategic and cool. I'm super excited. I think the game looks effing gorgeous.
It really does.
The one little bit of bad news is that this is now slated for early 2015.
Yep.
But again, you know, that's Nintendo. If the game needs a little more polish, they're going to hold it back and polish it, because ultimately, no one remembers a 3-month delay. Everyone remembers a game that came out shitty and could have used a little more work.
Assassin's Creed 3.
No lies detected. I know you're super stoked about this next
one. I am.
Why don't you dig in?
We got confirmation that Mario Maker is a real thing. You know, that could have been kind of buzzing around for a few weeks. Mario Maker is indeed a real thing. It is a custom Mario level creative tool. And one thing that was very surprising to me that I wasn't expecting is that you'll be able to swap between the classic NES Mario tile set and the new Super Mario U tile set. And, you know, create your level in both. So if you were like, oh, I have some pipes here and some Goombas, you can be like, boop, and automatically switch it, and it's in the newer version. I am really excited about this. I think that any sort of way to put creation into the player's hands is always an exciting possibility. I think it really shows that they really want to expand the community. I mean, and, you know, really kind of, I'm really excited about what this could open up. You know, like, could they discover new talent through this medium? I have to wonder. The one thing that I can't say for sure based on the footage is if there are more than just those two levels, but it's almost certain. I'm sure there are, like, ice tile sets, and maybe you have to, like, unlock it through making a classic 1-1 level.
Well, real talk, this game isn't coming out until 2015.
Right.
Probably what we're looking at is just not super far in development, and that's why that's all they've shown. If that was all the content there is to the game, they wouldn't be working on it for another 7 months.
Yeah, I have to wonder if it's only going to be levels, or if you'll be able to be like, oh, here's my little Mario world.
Yeah, how amazing would that be if I could make, like, a world of Mario games, and as long as someone else has Mario Maker, they could download it, and I could, like, send it to them.
I mean,
be
this
like,
is
hey,
basically
run my, even if it was only, like, a 10-course limit, if I could make, like, an assortment of 10 courses that vaguely approximated going through, like, a Mario game, and then send it to you, I would probably play this every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just really excited to see the possibilities.
Oh, yeah, and you know, I've played some really amazing Mario ROM hacks over the years.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that community.
I'm
sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I was exactly thinking that, you know, the ROM hacking community has been doing this for years and years. There's a very dedicated community. At first, I was like, oh, is this going to kill them? But I think this is probably going to, you know, further kind of legitimize what they've been doing.
Well, and, you know, we've talked a lot on the show, and even as recently as last night, about how my problem with Little Big Planet, which is sort of the premier 2D platforming game design game, is like, you know, it has really floaty physics and really imprecise controls. And I think it just gets by on pretty rather than necessarily being
a great design game. It's the Courtney Act of game recreation games.
Yes, but not all of our listeners watch Drag Race, so I had to contextualize that. So I feel like with Mario Brothers at the core of this, we already know that this is going to be like the most core, like 2D platforming experience you can have in terms of control and game design. Like, this is literally where 2D platforming came from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the most stable core you could be building a game like this on.
One thing I'm curious about that I wasn't really able to glimpse from watching the footage is if the physics are going to be different in the U version and the classic version.
I assume they will be.
That'll be interesting to see.
Because it seems very un-Nintendo not to include
that. That seems really interesting to be like, oh, well, this level works really well in classic NES Mario, but it plays entirely differently when I put it in the, you know, in the Mario U. And I know that a lot of people, and this is something that kind of is a sidebar that I notice about player-created content, usually seems to want to recreate old stuff, like stuff that's already existing, which is a really interesting trend that people, when they are given the tools to create content, want to create, like, oh, something that someone else already made and recreate it.
I'll be honest. Do you know what I would build? I would build a replica of 1-1, but, like, the pipes that you could go in real 1-1 would take you to crazy challenge dungeons, like that first pit in the game that you have to jump over to then get over to the other side and find some Goombas and a Koopa Troopa. Like, that pit would lead to, like, a hall of coins, but if you stayed up, rather than just, like, one Koopa Troopa and a couple Goombas, there'd be, like, a pyramid of, like, 50 of them coming at you. And so I would just specifically design a course that's, like, subvert your expectations, think out the box, and look at this level as if you had never seen it before.
Yeah.
I'm excited as shit for this. I have thought about this a lot already.
Well, my point is that I could see a lot of people who are maybe a little bit more, you know, wanting to recreate old content, being like, I'm going to recreate these classic NES Mario levels and put it through the Wii U set. So this is what...
Oh, that would be interesting.
This is classic 1-1, because we have not gotten classic 1-1 in a Wii U set. They've never just straight up recreated a level.
But that's a little bit misleading, because they did do a DLC pack in New Mario Bros. 2 for 3DS that did have classic Mario.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, to some degree, we saw a little bit of that, but not as faithfully as we're talking about right now.
Right.
Something that I'm hoping for is if this is a downloadable eShop game, and I haven't heard if it's retail or eShop. Have you?
No.
So if it's an eShop game, I hope they do expansions for, like, oh, this is the Mario 3 tile set.
Here's the Super Mario World tile set.
Exactly. I would happily buy the core game for $15 and then buy, you know, $7 to $10 expansions for, like, new tile sets to make new stages. I think that this would be really a huge, huge, huge asset for Nintendo to leverage this idea this way. I am obviously beyond excited for the potential and possibility of this thing. I am just stoked on every level for Mario Maker, really.
Yeah, super exciting.
So, all right, well, we're nearly taking as long to talk about this event as this event took to watch.
Right.
So, let's wrap this up with the last three things. The first is a new IP. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, this is called Splatoon, and it is a shooter game, but it involves paintballs and squids. You're a squid-human hybrid shapeshifter that you can squirt out ink paint of a certain color based on your team. You could turn into a squid to kind of like dive and travel through. And it looks really fun. I mean, you really have to see it in action to appreciate it, I think. Because at first I was kind of like, oh, what is this? But then when I saw it in action, I'm like, oh, that's cute. And then when I saw the Nintendo Treehouse Boys playing it, I was really sold on it. Unfortunately, this is another 2015 release, but I think it's going to be worth the wait. A lot of people made the point that, hey, Nintendo just made a arena shooter that isn't violent.
Yeah, they did. They made an arena shooter. It's not violent. It has new gameplay mechanics and ideas. It's Nintendo, man. They took this very popular genre of game and found a way to innovate within that space regardless of, despite how overcrowded that space is.
Yep, so Splatoon.
Splatoon, man.
A lot of people saying that it was their game of show for the Nintendo conference.
Yeah, very cool looking game. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We then sort of wrapped this event up with an anime trailer for Smash introducing Palutena as a playable character, the goddess from the Kid Icarus series.
Palutena alights.
Palutena alights.
She was kind of a sassy lady.
Well, she's sassy in Kid Icarus. If you haven't played Kid Icarus...
Uprising?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it.
The story and, like, the cinemas and the dialogue, like, it's practically a comedy. It is so funny and just... It's a really cool experience. It's very fun. I absolutely loved, like, most games, when bitches start talking, I'm, like, trying to press, like, start to, like, skip it or whatever. In Kid Icarus Uprising, like, I was cackling.
You're like, oh, no, she better don't.
Yes, but I was. Like, oh, girl.
Ah.
Uh-uh.
She has some really cool-looking special moves. She has, like, a goddess scepter. Basically, like, a magical girl.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. I'm very, very stoked for this character.
They had a really cool-looking, like, anime reveal trailer. A lot of people are like, yes, we want an anime Smash special.
Right? I'd watch it. I'd pay for it.
Did I say special?
Smash special.
I think I said special instead of special.
You wanted a Smash special?
All right.
And then... That did appear to be it. But then we got a mysterious segment featuring Shigeru Miyamoto-san playing a game on a monitor that was all blurred out. But it was very clearly a Star Fox game.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, about an hour before the event, Time.com leaked that a new Star Fox game was coming, as well as the two other new Nintendo IPs coming out of, I guess, Miyamoto's brain space.
Yep.
That was Project Guard.
And Project Giant Robot. Both of which got heavily featured on the Treehouse streams.
Exactly. Well,
really cute. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the streams now. So, and that was why that was my segue for that. Project Guard is Nintendo's take on innovating and iterating in the tower defense genre.
Yeah.
The gamepad will display sort of like a whole set of different security cam feeds, while on your TV, you're like selecting like what screen is on your TV so that you can go to different security camera feeds and in first person shoot lasers at little invading robots.
Yeah, it looked really frantic and silly.
Yeah, it did. I thought it looked very cool. I love tower defense games.
And it got everyone participating because the person playing was someone on the development team. And so Miyamoto and Bill Trinan and the other members of the Treehouse, and then even the press people who were there kind of watching would be like, oh, number nine. It was just really frantic and you'd have to like...
Nine.
And
sorry.
It was really fun. And, you know, I think that's why people should not dismiss Miyamoto-san, because he is the one who's always about trying to create new gameplay experiences. He's trying to innovate in this generation about Together Better. Remember, that was the whole thing. And I really feel like what we saw, particularly with Project Guard, was very, like, I could... imagine this at a party or, you know, just a couple of us hanging out here at the SS Game Buoy and be like, oh, Seven, there's a big fucking robot coming on Seven. Oh my god!
But no, absolutely, man. I'm super stoked for that game. It did look fairly early in development, I'm sure we'll see a lot more of this in the future. The other game, Project Giant Robot, looked almost like a mixture of, like, Quap and, like, War of the Monsters for the PlayStation 2. Like, you're giant robots fighting giant monsters and robots.
Yep.
With, like, really awkward but fun, like, motion control and stick control and trying to coordinate all these moving pieces.
Yeah, so it uses the gyrometer. Is that what you call it?
I believe so.
Gyroscope.
It's a gyroscope and electrometer.
Yeah.
Some fucking word.
Accelerometer.
Thank you.
Something like that. But anyways, you're using the built-in gyroscope in the Wii U gamepad, similar to the way that some things were explored in Nintendo Land. But, you know, you're using that as your cockpit of your giant robot. You're using the two sticks on the gamepad as the arms. And basically, you just kind of have to, like, maneuver. And one of the trends that Miyamoto-san was talking about in his Time article was about how he wants to really explore different control methods. And he was talking about this with Star Fox, in that he would prefer there to be a learning curve and then people to be like, oh, I really like this different style of gameplay now that I've learned to master it, rather than just be something very typical. You know, I think that was a lot of the problem with the Wii that we've talked about in retrospect, is that
there wasn't a lot of depth.
And, you know, I think we're going to probably honestly run into that with the Wii U, because we're getting no third-party support for that console.
Well, you know, whatever. It's, you know, something that we got, one of the first pieces of news we got out of the streams. This was announced on the IGN stream immediately after the press conference event, or press event, I should say, is that Devil's Third, the new game from Itagaki's studio, has been saved by Nintendo in the same way that they saved Bayonetta 2.
Yep.
And resultantly, it is now going to be a Wii U exclusive.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, motherfuckers. Like, just like this tattooed guy, like, super violent. Almost in a Suda 51 sort of way.
Well, Itagaki's kind of, that's always been his
dream. Yeah, yeah.
He's always all about pushing things, pushing expectations, and I think the game, I'm not really sure what I think of it yet, but I'm definitely gonna give it a go. I wanna support non-Nintendo games on the Wii U, and I'm a big fan of Itagaki's work. I really do think he gets the kind of game design that I'm interested in.
And you know, I think it just also goes to show that Nintendo makes family games.
Absolutely.
This trailer was available on YouTube. I'm sure that if you weren't signed in, it'd be like, this is age-restricted. Please sign in before continuing. But it's like, hey, motherfuckers. What the hell?
Yeah, no, and it's great to see Nintendo, again, saving a project by, like, a Japanese auteur that maybe wouldn't have been made otherwise.
Uh-huh.
So I'm absolutely stoked for this. I'm very excited. The over-the-top, fairly violent trailer is out there. You can catch it yourself. If you're into Itagaki, you're into these sort of edgy games. Maybe if you're into, like, Platinum Games' Mad World, you might be interested in this. Definitely check it out. We also got in the streams a release date for the 3DS game Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. That's going to be August 29th. And a localization of Fantasy Life by Level 5 for 3DS was announced.
Ooh, yeah.
This was a big deal. This is a game that is generally described as Dragon Quest meets Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So if you're into the sound of that, you know, this was another JRPG that Nintendo's pushing. It's funny, like, Nintendo in you know, just the first few hours of the day did more for JRPGs than Sony and Microsoft have done this year, all together.
I mean, aside from Persona 5, basically everything else is a Nintendo.
Yeah, and again, we saw no Persona 5 anything at this E3.
Well, it's because it was PS3, and they didn't want to talk about PS3.
Well, that's a fucking fail on their part. Not that it's on PS3, that's fine, but, like, talk about it. This is a game people want to hear about. Whether you're in America, you're in Japan, I don't care. No. If you're a gamer, you want
to
hear about that.
They wanted to hear about Arkham Knight, and they wanted to hear about Naughty Dog, Naughty Dog, Naughty Dog.
Let's show a trailer for a game that most people finished last year. It's all good.
You know, it's just, I was thinking today, looking at what Nintendo presented and looking at what Sony presented, and Sony was kind of, like, not really acknowledging, like, hey, we're a Japanese company. We're Japanese. We have roots in the Japanese gaming industry. And they basically just really didn't acknowledge that. You know, I think that Nintendo really showed, like, hey, we're, like, we've got the best and the greatest in the Japanese gaming industry.
Yep, yep, yep. Let's see. We also got an announcement for Mario Party 10.
Yep, it's in development. And, you know, we didn't see a lot. They showed, like, a roller coaster theme park themed map. One thing that looked really cool is that there is a Bowser Party mode. I don't know if that's just, like, a separate mode or if that's going to be, like, the theme of Mario Party 10. But basically, Bowser was holding the gamepad. The person controlling Bowser seemed to be holding the gamepad. And if you were on a mini game, he might, like, shake the Wii U gamepad to shake the mini games platform.
Like a Polaroid picture.
We also got confirmation of Mario versus DK, another minis game for the Wii U eShop.
Oh, I do want to sidebar real quick. You know, we had talked when we were talking about the Amiibo games that there were a couple of games that we hadn't talked about yet at that point in the conference that are getting Amiibo support, and one of those games is the aforementioned Mario Party 10.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Amiibo support will also be featured in the holiday release of Captain Toad. As you said, though, we also got the announcement of Mario versus DK for Wii U. And last but certainly not least, you know, a little bit later on in the day, Nintendo did their whole streaming of Treehouse event all day.
They also did the Smash Invitational.
At the end of the day, there was the Smash Invitational, where we got, like, real competitive, high-level Smash Brothers Wii U play for the first time.
Yeah.
It was
great. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, no, I think most people on my Twitter feed were talking about how, like, even the ones that aren't normally into Smash were like, I can't tear my eyes away from this. This is amazing.
Right.
So that went amazingly well. And right after that, they did a roundtable discussion about Smash Brothers.
Right.
Where they revealed another newcomer.
Pac-Man!
Pac-Man is hungry for battle.
Of course, this is the 3D style, like, Pac-Land, Pac-Man World sort of Pac-Man, you know, but very classic 90s Namco arcade Pac-Man mascot.
Yeah.
But
like you would have seen at the Cyber Station at the mall.
Right. But one of the moves he has turns him into that waka 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 Pac-Man, and then what appears to be his final smash is just a giant waka 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 Pac-Man. He has attacks that involve the ghosties, he has attacks that involve the, like, little pixelated fruits, he can put down a fire hydrant that squirts water. It just looks really wacky, and, like, they really put a lot of thought into it. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, Pac-Man, but I'm really pleased. They pointed out that Pac-Man is as old as Mr. Game & Watch, so, you know, he's a veteran of the industry. And it was not confirmation that Game & Watch is coming back, but, you know, it seems kind of likely. But I'm really excited for Pac-Man. I was always happy that Pac-Man was in the arcade Mario Karts that Namco had worked on.
All right, well, so we discussed the show, we discussed the streams, which we're going to include as the show.
Right.
What did you think of the show?
I was really happy with it. You know, I think that I was a little concerned at first with the Miis being the first reveal. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But especially as content was available throughout the day, I think, you know, maybe I would have ranked the initial Nintendo, Play Nintendo Direct E3 Experience video direct stream a little lower initially, but then after really seeing the content all day and really building up my excitement for what Nintendo was offering this year, it definitely made me appreciate more what they were showing. And another thing that I kind of took away, I was remembering what Miyamoto had said a year or so ago about how he's trying to look towards a Nintendo where he is not around when he, you know, inevitably retires. You know, we don't want to have to think about that. I see you making a frowny face.
Yeah, damn right I'm frowning.
But I think one thing that I really saw today is that we didn't see Miyamoto-san until the end of the presentation. And that really kind of shows me that yeah, these Nintendo games are in good hands. He's been slowly but surely, you know, over the past, really, 15 years or more at this point, kind of let other people take the reins on different franchises. And, you know, now we're really starting to see him do these smaller projects. Project Guard, Project Giant Robot, and really letting these other people take the reins, and we're getting good results. So,
well, and that's something I've really talked about here on the show. It's something that I have really strong feelings about. I do think Nintendo is grooming the next wave of incredible Japanese
right.
video game talent.
And, you know, bringing in, like, Platinum partnerships. I mean, like, shit, Nintendo's really priming itself for a good future. And, I mean, even with Mario Maker, that's basically Miyamoto being like, here's my baby. Here is my baby. It is
now. I want to teach you how to make games. Now I want you to understand level design. Now I want you at home to be able to design levels the way that we did so that you can have the joy of creating this kind of content.
And, I mean, I think in a weird way, even though there was not a lot of Miyamoto-san featured, like, it really was. This is his legacy.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a damn fine legacy, if I do say so.
Yeah.
And I want to say, you know, I know that I was saying, oh, Japanese developers. I also feel like they are planting seeds in Western game design as well. You know, they're working with a lot of Western studios these days. I feel like for some reason that Splatoon is being worked on in conjunction with an American studio. Is that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not too familiar with Splatoon. Like, it's so new.
You know, and we've also seen previously sort of their relationships with Next Level Games, Monster Games, certainly Retro. We've really seen Nintendo and Miyamoto specifically sort of work with these teams to guide them, to work with them so that they learn level design and game design for themselves.
I mean, if you think of, like, they're really developing a strong partnership with Namco Bandai at this point. I've really been fostering...
Tecmo Koei,
I'm sorry, Bandai Namco now, officially.
Officially.
Tecmo Koei,
Sega,
like you said.
Certainly Sega.
Sega, and it's just really, I mean, I think a lot of people just are choosing to focus on the Wii U hardware numbers instead of these relationships that Nintendo's fostering.
Yeah, I mean, they are teaching other game makers how to make better games. I don't understand the Nintendo hate. I think that Nintendo certainly is indirectly responsible for many, many, many people who love games now, for their love of games. And now they are directly to you, working with other game studios, developers, personalities, to really work together and make even better games and teach others how to make great games.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put a tack on it. What was your score for this Nintendo event, including the streams?
I would have said that just the Nintendo Direct earlier was an 8 out of 10. With all the content throughout the day, 9 out of 10.
So I'm going to do something I never do. Without the streams, I thought we were at a 9 out of 10. I'm going to say, you know, again, like Microsoft's event yesterday, the games announced at Nintendo's core event were the exact kind of games I'm excited for. You've probably heard it in my voice. I'm practically ranting maniacally about all of these games. Bayonetta.
Well, it's Nintendo.
Mario Maker. Even Zelda. I'm excited about a fucking Zelda game. That's how good this presentation was today. So that would have been a 9, including the streaming, constant all-day news, tons of in-depth focus on games we didn't even know existed.
Smash Brothers on
today.
The edge of your seat.
Yeah, an incredible Smash Brothers competitive tournament. Really, Nintendo throwing their support behind Smash Brothers as a competitive fighting experience to be taken seriously and really legitimizing that. And then we're going to see nonstop coverage for 2 more days. 2 more days, man.
Just go ahead and say you're 11 out of 10.
Well, I was going to say a 10 out of 10. I think that what Nintendo produced today in terms of what games were shown and how, honestly, I feel they revolutionized the way E3 coverage works. Because make no mistake, man, everyone was talking about only Nintendo today. There's no way next year Sony and Microsoft aren't going to totally rip this format off. Nintendo, once again, has innovated in a way that it cannot be ignored. Nintendo has changed the game. I think this was by far the best E3 event any of the big three have ever done. if we include the stream of today into this accounting. And I think that really it would have been impossible for me to have foreseen how well this was gonna work. Amazing job, Nintendo. And I think that you guys had a perfect conference, a literally perfect conference.
And I mean, let's be real. We do have quite a bit of a Nintendo bias here at Game Buoy, which if you're in the UK, we're actually Game Boy, I learned recently.
No, you know what? I'm actually going to argue that this time. I love Nintendo, but I have never been afraid to call them out when I think they really fucked
That's
up.
That's true.
But the magic of Nintendo is their ability to think outside the box.
They're the Disney of games.
And today, they showed us that they're even doing that with how they interface with us and how they give us news. You look at all of these games we wanted more information about from Microsoft, for example. Like, I wanted gameplay footage from Phantom Dust. I didn't get it. I wanted gameplay footage from Scalebound. You know, I wanted gameplay footage. I wanted to hear the developers watch someone play through it as giving us insights on the design choices of the game.
Nah, bro, that's not what E3 is about anymore.
I wanted that on Bloodborne / Project Beast. Like, we have leaked Project Beast footage, but we don't have official Project Beast footage now that the game's announced? That's stupid. That's stupid. Nintendo showed us games that we didn't know existed before today, being played live for like an hour, while talking about the specific game design choices that were made in making this game. This, to me, is revolutionary. This, to me, for the better, changes the way game companies communicate with the gamers.
I felt like what they did today, building on what they've been doing with the Directs, I really agree. I mean, we really saw Nintendo today redefining, saying, no, we're redefining what E3 is about, because E3 as a whole has really changed.
So,
well, I do believe that we've spent as much time talking about Nintendo as we did talking about the other four conferences yesterday.
Not quite yet, but we're getting there. So.
Well, we've got some social links to share.
We sure do. Why don't we dig in on that? You know, I actually got a late arrival here. And this is from Francisco Yu, whom we often talk to on Facebook.
Yes.
Nintendo had the best show of the major three companies. Every game announcement got me more and more excited. While I'm looking forward to a title or two from what was shown by Microsoft and Sony, Nintendo has more games coming out that I will be buying. I definitely love the Amiibo figurines. They're beautifully crafted, and I can't wait to see how they will be implemented in future titles. Also, Bayonetta 1 and 2 can't come any sooner. Splatoon looks super fun, too. So much awesome was shown today by Nintendo, and I am certain more will come. Shame on people who say there is nothing on the Wii U, because my money is mostly going to be going to that console.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, that really mirrors Mirrors Edge. That mirrors the bones of what we have been saying this entire episode tonight. Like, just, I felt like every game was just a knock right out of the park. Great diversity in terms of gameplay. Like, I heard some people talk about, like, oh, there's not a lot of diversity in terms of aesthetics in these games. And that's probably true. Less so if we include Bayonetta and Devil's Third, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really do feel like, especially if we include some of these stranger games, like, that I think are totally valid to include, I really do think Nintendo is covering so much ground this year. And I honestly, for me, man, I love my Xbox One. I like my PS4, but my Wii U has my heart.
So our question today, because, LOL, when we were preparing this episode, we knew what we were going to say about Konami, or what we weren't going to say about Konami, rather. So we asked you, did you watch the Nintendo E3 Digital event? What did you think? And we also, over on Facebook, asked if you had caught the Treehouse streams or the Smash Invitational. I'm going to start with the tweets. Before we do that, actually, I'd like to read a couple tweets that came in late last night as we were in the post-production process. And a lot of them were from our friend Yumi Games over on Twitter. The first piece of feedback we got from Yumi Games was in response to the PlayStation experience. And he said that the best parts were when From Software logo appeared, and then when a cat appeared in the Magicka 2 trailer and you could hear cheering. Aww. The Ubisoft conference, he said the best parts were the Valiant Hearts trailer and the fact that you can use your smartphone as a controller now. Hashtag PS Move just died again. Aww. He said the E3 EA experience, and then he linked a picture, which we were going to retweet, It's basically just white dudes with headsets on stage. The Microsoft conference, his thoughts were the best parts were Sunset Overdrive starring Delson Rowe. LOL. They do kind of look similar. Rise of the Tomb Raider, which we actually didn't discuss yesterday, but it looks pretty cool, coming from Crystal D. And the glowing wristbands, right? Those were cool.
Yeah, they were.
And as an afterthought, not necessarily an afterthought, but another thought for PlayStation, Sony experience, was Grim Fandango and a wet and hot Nathan Drake.
Ooh, girl.
And then Your Enzyme, in response to our episode, must have listened very early today, so thank you, Your Enzyme, because he said, nice Tim and Eric sing along.
Which one was that?
Bang, bang, cops and
robbers.
Bang, bang, coppers and cops. We're about as sloppy as Casey and his brother.
We really are.
Next time we'll have to do Get Your Poke On.
For your wine.
Ah! So today, in response to, did you watch the Nintendo E3 digital event? What did you think? We got Your Enzyme was first in, saying Mario Maker and other games that might make me get a Wii U next year.
Aww.
But yeah, a lot of 2015 realness.
Yeah, there really was. But real quick, I have to say, you know, Ben Kuchera came for Nintendo today with, well, Nintendo showed some great games, but nothing this year. It was all 2015. Bitch, that also applies to Xbox, to the Microsoft conference and the Sony conference. Get your head out your ass. Knock it off!
Ian, a.k.a. Atari Barbie, our buddy from the Koopa Club podcast, said, I thought if there was a company that communicated compassion for what they do, it was this conference. Also, the humor. Yeah, well said. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Lime Blue 3, or I guess the 3 is an E. Nicholas B, Lime Blue 3, said, the digital event really did it for me. It's time to start saving up for a Wii U. Yay! J-Lal over on Twitter, who is James from the Video Game Realness podcast, said each game had a unique style and feel. Color, and more color. Nice contrast to the rest of the space. Jeremy from Koopa Club, known as Fix Your Face on Twitter, said it reignited my passion for the platform. So much exciting content coming. Clear thought about where these ideas came from. Yumi Games said, Wii U is so fucking hot right now. Yay! You know, that really is making me think. We did not really see a lot of 3DS today, but, you know, we didn't see any Vita.
Really. LOL, what, we got a Vita announcement today that then got retracted. At least tomorrow we know we're getting a huge 3DS announcement at 6 p.m. PST.
Right. But yes, the Wii U is so fucking hot right now.
It really is.
And apparently someone else who is feeling a little hot is Clerical Errors, a.k.a. Renee, from the Killer Queens from Outer Space podcast. Because he said, all caps, Bayonetta 2 makes my dick rock hard. Whoa, buddy. Simmer down. And then also, Mario Maker, Captain Toad, Hyrule Warriors makes my dick rock hard.
Whoa, buddy.
Whoa, but I'm glad that you were enthusiastic.
Yeah.
No, I'm very excited about all those titles as well.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And I do agree, you know, I may not have, like, an erection over it, but I definitely was very, very excited for all of the games you just cited.
Right. And last but certainly not least, over on the Twatiers, the very handsome Steeligar said, love that Bayonetta 2 comes with first game also. And Captain Toad looks amazing.
I'm trying not to objectify our listeners, so I will neither confirm nor deny your comment. I agree with our listener, though.
Indeed. Our handsome listener.
Just move it along, buddy.
All right, over on the Facebooks, we got a response from Renee as well, from Killer Queens from Outer Space. A little more in-depth, more than 140 characters. Surprised to see so many announced games that I really want to play, such as Bayonetta 2, Captain Toad, Splatoon, and Super Smash Bros. It's really giving me an incentive to purchase a Wii U at the beginning of July. Ah, excellent. He said,
awesome.
Also, I hear a rumor that there's going to be a dating sim starring Hungry Box, and that you'll be able to get a peek at his Hungry Box. Hashtag lap it up, thirsties.
Girl, okay, Slag, you need to contextualize.
Okay, so one of the competitors at the Smash Invitational went by the code name, or his name in the competitive Smash community is...
His handle?
His handle in the Smash community is Hungrybox, and he's a good-looking, beardy Latino guy, and a really good Smash player, but a lot of the Twatiers were blowing up about, the moment on the stream when he kind of was unbuttoning his top buttons, they're like, ooh, take it off, take it off. And yes, he was definitely some eye candy.
On one hand, he was very handsome. On the other, I'm trying not to objectify.
Yeah, that's my job. And speaking of objectifying men, my husband-to-be, Daniel T, over on Facebook, it's an inside joke, said, I was absurdly excited by everything Nintendo presented today. I took the day off so I could just gape wide-eyed at my television, and I was not disappointed. I am an unabashed Nintendo fanboy, and I will gladly own that. I am legitimately excited by everything presented today and will likely be purchasing everything shown. Also, I really hope that no one ever again refers to Nintendo's E3 presence as skipping E3, because I was glued to my television for the last 10 hours, and I am still left craving more. As far as specific games, I nearly wet myself when Aonuma presented Zelda. The Xenoblade Chronicles cross-presentation and gameplay footage made me drool, and Yoshi's Woolly World multiplied every feel that Kirby's Epic Yarn implanted in me.
I just want to sidebar real quick and say, that is exactly what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
For all of the hubbub about how Nintendo was skipping E3, they were the ones I felt that most brought E3 and games to their audience, regardless of the fact that we weren't at the event, we didn't attend a fancy screening at a movie theater. Like, no, just straight directly to us, to our computers, to our Wii U's.
And the streaming quality was fine.
With great streaming quality, they brought us everything. They gave us all the life. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
Finally, the actual presentation was an absolute smash, with Nintendo poking fun at themselves and directly combating their detractors, touching interviews and moments with the game developers, and the tight and action-packed pacing of the entire event. As far as the Invitational goes, I was extremely glad to see such large female representation. Yes, thank you
yes.
for mentioning that. And it really goes to kind of sidebar my objectifying hungry box. There were a lot of strong female competitors up there, and I was really glad to see that representation as
you know,
well.
In fact, one of the players who got the player who got the furthest with a new character, that is to say the person who's straight up skill.
Oh, is that Peachy Hime?
I believe so. Straight up skill. Because, you know, using a character there was no practice with.
I think Wii Fit Trainer.
Yeah, was a female gamer. And she learned this character pretty quick and was able to bring it live on stage competing in that environment. Like,
indeed.
Hats off to you. You are a tremendous gamer.
So back to the Invitational. Daniel said that it felt like the host was just waiting for Nintendo to hand him his paycheck. But I feel that the players and special guests were all extremely excited to be there.
And was that Jeff Keighley?
It was Jeff Keighley.
Yeah,
but the commentators were like, whoa! Like, I felt like I was watching, like, an actual sports match.
Yeah, no, they got great commentators for that, though. That was amazing.
Oh, Hungrybox is swallowing. Just saying.
Okay, keep going.
Anyway, he says, I was especially surprised at how well the celebrity players played. I expected everyone except for Zelda to be flailing around and jumping off the edge. But yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, they did fool around, I mean. Overall, I award Nintendo 5 Reggie ass-kickings out of 5.
I can agree with that.
Nathan B. said the Invitational was a weird blend of polite corporate excitement and filthy FGC hype.
Fighting game community.
Yeah, I could tell. You could tell that large chunks of the audience had a history with some of the contestants.
I did see some of that grossness.
Well, did you hear the booing when one of the fan votes, like when they did for the moving on to the fan battle?
Yeah, like I said, I could hear that grossness.
Yeah. And there was a lot of grossness on Twitter with the final battle, too.
There really was. It was very unpleasant. I choose to believe that none of our lovely, beautiful listeners engaged or indulged in any of
and
that.
And we're not talking about objectifying Hungrybox. We're talking about some, like, slurs and stuff. But anyway, also, Kirby Cannabis Curse sequel was everything. And playable Hyrule Warriors made me cheer. Playable Ghirahim next?
Oh, God, I hope. That would be amazing.
Because it really seems to be kind of like a mishmash. Mishmash sounds like a sloppy way to say it, but it sounds like a mixture.
Crossover
of all of our favorite Zelda characters.
It really does.
So I would love that. And last but certainly not least on our Facebook is Anthony from the Cultural Wormhole. The
X Nation
podcast said, I was crazy into everything that Nintendo showed. Even for my boyfriend, who's only tangentially interested in this stuff, he thought Nintendo's media event was brilliant, as it didn't just announce games, but explain why they made them and where their ideas came from. At some point,
this is exactly what I've been talking about all episode. I'm sorry, continue.
He says at some points it seems like a travel show. But I mean, yeah, that's really a Nintendo. I mean, if you've been watching Nintendo for the past couple years, I mean, arguably for like the past forever, but really, especially since we here on Game Boy, we have been bringing you news and views that maybe aren't on your radar. I really feel like people don't think about the fact that Nintendo really does focus on game design. And I guess that's not what a lot of gamers out there like to think about. They just want to see dudes and boobs.
Unfortunately, yeah. Explosions and bros. Brosplosions!
Did you say blows?
Let's pretend I didn't.
Oh.
Keep going.
Hungrybox swallows. The last thing that I wanted to share is our good old friend Dominique finished her E3 2014 report card. And so this will tie in with the presentation from yesterday and today. Microsoft, the review was why? Grade D. So she chose to do an actual report card rating. EA, plus points for a flaming battleship. Dick docking sim okay.jpg. Wait, there was dick docking?
Whoa.
I missed that part.
Me too.
Spots games. Pre-rendered Mirror's Edge. Overall grade D+. For Ubisoft, Ask Creed Baguette Edition. Healthy Games. Division Trailer. Game Where I Am a Dog. Initially, she ranked this a B, but then Only Woman is Hostage changed the grade to a D.
Good.
Sony, Grim Fandango, focused on TV. How to Connect, no Persona 5. B-. Konami, didn't even present or show up. A++.
You troll.
And Nintendo didn't even have a review or a grade, just a picture of a family playing Wii.
Let's pretend that the picture is the family having hella fun and that it constitutes a good review, because I have a hard time believing otherwise.
Right. And that does it for our social links this week. As ever and always, you can always come back to our Twitter or our mail buoy or anything if you are a backlog Betty out there, or if you just want to say something
if
about
the... If you are a backlog Betty and you are afraid of commenting on older posts or responding to older questions of the week, and this came up today in conversation, it's why I want to emphasize it, please, by all means, reach out to us. Even if it's an older episode, an older topic, we still want to hear from you. We still want to interact with you guys. Interacting with our listeners is really the highlight
of what
we do. It's
the reason we keep doing this.
It's why we do this. I have had so many amazing conversations with so many of you guys, and I really hope to continue that, and hopefully you guys enjoy them too. Slaggy, back to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's really why we continue doing this. Let's be honest, even if there were zero or negative listeners, if that was somehow a thing, we would probably still be doing this because of our love of games.
We record an episode and people die. That would be negative listeners. It's like some kind of unpleasant death note. It's like, death buoy.
Death buoy. But no, really, you make it all worth it. And with that, this is where we turn to you to solicit you. Not in a saucy way, but we love your feedback. We love and appreciate your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We're 5-star rating on iTunes right now, and that's really sweet.
Wow! Thank you all!
Like, out of 8 ratings, but all those 8 ratings helped us out. Super hearts. 5 stars to you.
Thank you.
We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter. You can tumble with us on Tumblr. You can plus one us on Google Plus. You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
All of these social links are available on our home base, gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Which, like, a week or so, I guess, ago, we did a unofficial, quiet, soft launch of a new layout. Hopefully a little more mainstream if you're visiting us on the web version. So go check us out. We have our entire episode archive up there for your listening pleasure.
Episode archive, woohoo!
Episode archive, buoy at gamebuoy.org.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Episode archive, buoy at gamebuoy.org.
Yeah, stop trying to make that happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess only MailBuoy gets that treatment.
Yes, yes. Are you quite done? Can I do my shout-outs?
Do your shout-outs.
As ever and always, first of all, I'd like to shout-out to Koopa Club. That is Koopa with a Q, Club with a K. They are an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist.
An LGBT titty twist?
An LGBT twist. As well as that, I would also like to shout out to our Hunty Bunch sisters over at VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. And also, I'd like to shout out to the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I'd be remiss not to mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I've blatantly stolen ever so many of my cues. I'd also like to shout out to the Nintendo Fun Club podcast, as well as a new podcast that just started today. This is from our listener, Anthony Ellis. This is the Anthony's Nintendo Love Fest.
Aww.
A regular podcast about gaming in general and Nintendo specifically, but always with an honest voice and a critical eye.
Aw, love it. Can't wait to hear it.
The first episode is already up on iTunes. By all means, go check it out. And if you dig it, which I'm sure you will, be sure to give it a good rating.
Indeedly-do.
I also, of course, want to mention our presently on hiatus show about RuPaul's Drag Race. That is, of course, Reading is Fundamental. Also, if you're into Star Trek, please check out the Starboard Power Coupling podcast.
Starboard.
A Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail.
Hope it doesn't fail. Hope it doesn't fail.
And last but most certainly not least, X-Nation over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants.
Quietly-ish, take us to a game bar.
I wanna take you to a game bar.
Game Bar is the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. They're the gay video game prairie home companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch. The Nerdgasm Network is the wildest shock jock video game radio show you'll ever come across. It's a bag of hot dicks. They also do a bi-weekly beergasm if you're into beers. They go live over there at the Nerdgasm Network. Over on the VOG Network, that's Voice of Geeks Network, VOGNetwork.com, you can listen to Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO, and Horde House, the place for all things online gaming but never too seriously, along with the Starboard Power Coupling podcast and Orange Lounge Radio and a variety of other great shows all over at the Voice of Geeks Network. The Video Game Outsiders podcast is the podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. The Nerd Podcast, Nerd with a G, is pop culture rants from a gay nerd perspective. And finally, last but certainly not least, we have La Palanca Podcast, a podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. As ever and always, we like to pour out a 40 for our wonderful theme music done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful renditions of classic Zelda music.
With all that having been said, our lovely and beautiful listeners out there in Internet Radio Land, it has been superb. It has been a delightful, amazing experience to be broadcasting to you every night of this E3 so far. Unfortunately, we will not have additional content for you for a few days at least, but we will come back with an E3 wrap-up as soon as we can schedule it.
E3 wrap-up, E3 wrap-up. It's from the bronies out there.
Oh, man. So in the meantime, until we get to that, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed spending time with us. We have certainly enjoyed spending time with you guys. We'll see you next time. But until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And we hope you enjoyed your stay.
Don't say it like that.
It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for
They're going to think that this is our final episode
we
ever.
Hope you enjoyed your stay.
Ooh, Brandon Flowers, you are not. Hungry box swallows.
I may not have, like, an erection over it.
I don't usually use sexually descriptive language, like, to this extent, but I would come everywhere.
All over my tits and face.
Oh, that means it's going to be like the Zelda scrolls. Hyrim. but
that makes it sound like you're gonna like party and play and then eat a guy's ass.
Oh, gross! You nasty.
I can't stop thinking about it as Captain Toad's treasure trail.
Oh, hey, I sense a fanfic coming.
Oh, hell. But as
we're talking about his mushroom head.
Oh, girl, ew.
Oh, and like Pac-Man just looks so cute.
Ooh, hey. Ooh, ooh.